name was Black Bart, and he was a professional thief. For 13 years between 1870 and 1883 were known as Black Bart's reign of terror in the West. Black Bart would ride his own stagecoach up to a train, and at precisely the right moment, he would jump aboard wearing a gun. He would pull a mask over his face, and only his eyes were showing. But his very presence struck terror in all the passengers who were riding on that train. In fact, for a three-month period, Black Bart robbed 29 trains. Now, although his reign often took many victims, Black Bart never fired a shot. He never, ever fired a gun. His chief weapon was his reputation. His ammunition was intimidation. Even the most courageous sheriff didn't dare to confront Black Bart. Black Bart reminds me of three other professional thieves. Three thieves that you know very well and that I know very well. We've never seen their faces, just like no one saw Black Bart's face. But you know these thieves well, and even though you haven't seen them, you've sensed their presence. And even though you've never seen them face to face, you've sensed these thieves very near you, as I have. Maybe you've seen them or sensed their presence in a hospital room the night before surgery. Or maybe you've sensed their presence in a classroom just before an examination. Or in a company canteen where, while you were waiting to see if that deal which will secure hundreds of jobs has been finalized. Or maybe you've sensed their presence in the dark watch of the night while you were dealing with some loneliness in your life. What are the names of these three professional thieves? What are the names of these three Black Barts of the soul? Well, their names are fear, worry, and anxiety. Our English word anxiety comes from a Greek word, merimon. It literally means to pull apart. It means to be pulled in different directions at the same time. It means to be pulled in one direction at one time and then to be pulled in another direction at another time so that you feel that you're literally being pulled apart and there is nothing stable in your life. Have you ever felt that way? Like a member of your family is in one place and you are in another place? Someone you love is over there and you're over here and you feel like you're pulled in several different directions and are not sure where to be at the right time. What a vivid image of anxiety, to be pulled in different directions at once. Ever wanted to be in two, three, or four, or five places at the same time? That is what anxiety is all about. The English word worry comes from the German word rügen, which literally means to choke or to strangle or to be pressed. Have you ever felt like you've ever been pressed? Like the issues of life were choking you. And there are people or issues or situations that pressed in upon you and choked you and squeezed the life out of you. What a vivid picture for worry when you feel pressed by life or choked by life. Anxiety is when you're pulled apart in different directions. Worry is when you're pressed by life so that it feels that you're being squeezed by life. And fear, of course, is known by every one of us. Yes, the name of the things that we fear is different. But every one of us, if we were to be gut-level honest, has fear. Some of us are afraid of heights. Some of us are afraid of snakes. Some of us are afraid of water. Some are afraid of being closed in. Some are afraid of failure. Some are afraid of getting sick. Some are afraid of death. Joseph Stalin, the former leader of the Soviet Union, had 7 different residences, and he slept different nights in these different residences, for he never wanted anyone to know where he lived or resided, lest he be killed in the night. And they kept for him 5 different limousines, and he would go to engagements in a different car, so no one would know in which car he would be riding. He had such a fear of being assassinated. Anxiety, worry, fear, they are very real. Let me ask you today, what are your fears? What are your worries? What are your anxieties? When do you feel pulled? When do you feel squeezed? When do you feel afraid? The good news of the gospel message for today is this, very simply, the sermon in one sentence. Our worries, our fears, our anxieties do not have any power over us. Oh, we may think they are powerful, but our fears, our worries, our anxieties really do not have nearly as much power in our lives as we sometimes think they do. Black Bart was not a serious bandit or a serious hoodlum out of Death Valley. Black Bart was a mild-mannered pharmacist. His name was Charles E. Bowles. He was so afraid of riding horseback that he rode a stagecoach to rob the trains. And even though he pulled out his gun during every robbery, he never shot the gun. Do you know the reason why he never shot the gun? The gun was not loaded. He was so afraid of shooting the gun that he never loaded it. He found that a gun that wasn't loaded was every bit as intimidating as a gun that was loaded. So let me remind you of the good news of the gospel today. Fear, worry, and anxiety may seem like a gun poked in your side or at your temple, but fear, worry, and anxiety don't really have any ammunition. Yes, they are intimidating. Yes, they are imposing. They immobilize us, but they really don't have any ammunition to do us any permanent damage. The good news of the gospel message today is that God has several pieces of advice for us. And I tell you that the ammunition will be taken out of the guns of fear, worry, and anxiety if you heed these pieces of advice. Those guns will be unloaded. They will not have any ammunition in them. They will not have any power over us. Good news number one, fear, worry, and anxiety are irreverent. The question in life is, who do you trust? When the chips of life are really down, who do you go to? Who do you go to when someone jumps on the train of your life and sticks a gun in your side and says, stick him up? Fear, worry, and anxiety. Who do you trust when you're afraid? Who do you trust when you're worried? Who do you trust when you're anxious? In the passage from Matthew 6 that was read for us, we learn from Jesus Christ that fear, worry, and anxiety are irreverent. And he uses 2 wonderful pictures. In one, he says, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor toil, yet God feeds them. Are we not more valuable than them? But God is saying, is not saying in this passage, just kick off your shoes. Don't worry, God will provide for you. Just kick off your shoes, put your hands behind your back, and God will provide everything you need. Notice the birds of the air work within the system that God has provided. A robin or a sparrow is busy. Oh, they go out and they get their food, but they get their food in the system that God has provided. God isn't just saying, kick off your shoes and he will magically provide for you. You don't have to do anything. No, he says, operate within the system of your mind, of your gifts, of the abilities that God has given to you. So one of the marvelous pictures is of the birds of the air. They are very valuable to God, but they operate within the system where they do some work. And the other picture is of the lilies of the field. that Jesus is saying. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying that is often the lilies of the field lived only one day, 2 days, or maybe a week at the most. Often the lilies of the field were little flowers that lived and bloomed for only a day, and then they were gone. And Jesus is saying, if God clothes them, will he not much more clothe you? In other words, you and I are valuable to God. Our little concerns are valuable. So bring even the tiniest fears, the smallest worries, the littlest anxieties to God, because God values us and wants us to bring them to him. I imagine the concern of any parent is that their children would not bring their worries, anxieties, fears to them and would bottle them up and withdraw from their parents. The parent wants to know those fears, those worries, those anxieties, no matter how trivial or minor they might seem. In just the same way, God's greatest concern is that we bring our fears, our worries, our anxieties to him, no matter how small or tiny they might seem. The question of life is, who do you trust? Where do you put your trust? Worry, fear, and anxiety are irreverent. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't work. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do all we can. But fear, worry, and anxiety are irreverent. And the second bit of good news is this. Worry is not only irreverent, because it means we don't trust God. Worry is also irrelevant. Jesus says in this passage that worry doesn't do any good. In Matthew 6, he makes a wonderful and humorous point. In the Authorized Version, he says, who could add one cubit to your span of height by worry? A cubit is 18 inches. Who would want to add 18 inches to your height, but who could add 18 inches to your height by worry? And what he is saying here humorously is that there are some things in life over which you have no control. It doesn't do to be anxious or worried or afraid over things over which you have no control. Do your best, do everything you can, but that is all you can do. Jesus then introduces a wonderful element here of humor. Psychologists tell us that a mark of health in human beings is the ability to laugh at ourselves and with other people. Can you laugh at life? It is health-producing and it is life-giving. Perhaps you know the story of Norman Cousins, an American magazine editor. He was given a very, very bleak diagnosis by his doctors. The doctors told him virtually that there was no hope for him. So against their wishes, he checked out of the hospital and into a hotel. And I would not advise you to do that as someone who works in the health service, but that is what he did. He called his friend, Alan Funt, and together they brought some reruns of the television program Candid Camera. And together they watched the reruns of the video, and Norman Cousins started to laugh. And even though he was in great pain, he noticed that for every 10 minutes of laughter, he got 1 hour of pain-free sleep. Eventually, he was, despite the bleak prognosis, he recovered. He went on the lecture circuit, lecturing at medical schools all over the world, talking about the healing power of humor. And I ask you, when in your life you feel pulled apart, like one person you love is here and another is there and another spot, or whenever you feel pulled in those directions, or do you ever worry that you're being squeezed in a particular area of your life, can you stop for a moment and try to see some humor in it? Can you ever take a moment to see the humor in a situation? Sometimes we get so worried and so afraid and so anxious about what other people will think of us. I love Will Rogers' quote, no connection, no relation, who wrote, we wouldn't worry nearly so much about what other people think of us if we realised how infrequently they do. And is it not true? We get so worried about what other people are thinking. Worry is irreverent. It means that we don't trust God. But worry is also irrelevant. There are some things over which we have no control, and worry is not going to help us in any way. And the third bit of good news, as we move to a conclusion, worry, anxiety, and fear is irresponsible. It's irresponsible because it diverts us from our primary task of serving God. Our primary task is serving God today in this moment. Jesus advises us, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. In other words, live one day at a time. Don't worry so much about tomorrow. Live to the fullness of today. Are you living life to the fullness in the moment? Worry is irresponsible because it takes so much time and it diverts us from the thing that we should be doing today. Have you ever, as I have, spent so much time stewing about something, boiling over about something, getting anxious about something, worrying about something, that you not only waste that day, but you lose a night's sleep and therefore lose the good of the next day? Jesus says worry is irresponsible because it diverts us from our primary task of living life to the fullest today. When I was a little boy, and this dates me and it's rather cruel, but it's what we did in those days, in the summer holidays, in the long summer holidays, we had got jam jars and we collected bees. Very cruel, but that's what we did. We don't encourage children to do that today for various reasons, but many summers that's what little boys did, or they did in my part of the world. And you know, if you take a bumblebee and you put that bumblebee in a jam jar or a tumbler with no top, do you know what the bumblebee will do? It will try to get out, of course. And do you know how it will do it? It will kind of go around the side and crawl around the bottom and get kind of stewed up, and it will be bumping into the sides and going round and round and round. And do you know the interesting thing? There is no top on the jam jar. All the bumblebee would have to do is to look up, and there is a way out. But the bumblebee stews around, hits the side, hits into the side, and stews around in the bottom, and the bumblebee never looks up. Oh, how like bumblebees we are. Stewing around, hitting the wall, getting all upset. If only we looked up, we might see a solution. And so I say to you, bring to God all the anxieties of your heart, all the worries of your mind, all the fears of your soul. And then when you've poured them all out to God and you've told him everything that you want to tell him, God will give you his expanded perspective. He wants to show you that the fears and the worries and the anxieties really have no ammunition to them when seen in the larger perspective of a God who holds you in his arms. I tell you that if you remember that worry is irreverent, irrelevant, and irresponsible, you will find the keys of disarming these three professional thieves, these black barts of the soul that so damage us in the middle of the day and in the middle of the night, that they will have no power, and that you will have power to overcome fear and worry and anxiety. This is the Word of God. Never forget it.